Everything is expensive these days, you know that. The government is printing trillions of dollars in consumer prices higher than ever. If the government continues its printing and spending, the dollar could continue its free fall and lose its coveted role as the world reserve currency. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But there are a few things you can do right now. American Hartford Gold can show you how to protect your money, your retirement, your hard-earned savings against inflation by helping you diversify a portion of your portfolio into physical gold and silver. Start with a short phone call, and they can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or put inside your 401k or IRA. So please call or text them right now. Tell them Bill O'Reilly sent you. Call 877-444-GOLD, 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532. Again, that's 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey, Bill O'Reilly here. Welcome to the No Spin News, Thursday, May 2nd, 2024. Stand up for your country. Some random notes before we get into our formal presentation. The NYPD is doing an excellent job with these anti-Israel protesters. They're keeping people safe. They're not hurting the demonstrators, even though they're being baited, cursed at, spit at, really showing discipline. So I'm very proud of the NYPD, of which my grandfather was a member. Out in LA, I'm not quite so sure. There are reports the Los Angeles authorities stood back and allowed people to fight each other. That would not be good. I don't know whether those reports are accurate. So there's a question there. Now, we told you yesterday that we would get you arrest information in New York City, and we do have it. Wasn't easy to get, but we got it. Okay, and I'm going to bring that to you in a couple of minutes. All right. And finally, this story, the protests against Israel, is likely to end fairly soon. College exams are underway and the semesters are ending. It should put an end to it unless Israel invades Gaza again. Then all hell's going to break loose all over the world. So that's what we are seeing right this moment. The talking points memo is about poor leadership. Now, the anti-Israel protests have galvanized not only the USA, but the world. Everybody's watching this, and they're seeing where the chips are going to fall, who the winners and losers are going to be, all right? And the situation is not what it appears to be, as most situations aren't. What you see on television is really not the full story. Now, early this morning, there was a brawl in Los Angeles as authorities moved in at 3:30 a.m. Pacific time and dismantled this insane barrier stuff that the protesters had built on the campus of the University of California, Los Angeles. All right, so there were 132 arrests there. None of them will be prosecuted because Los Angeles authorities are weak. This goes back to weak leadership. So they're arrested, they're booked, but forget it. And same thing in New York City, and we're tracking it. We're going to track it for you. All right, so that happened. And because UCLA couldn't handle it. Same thing with Columbia. Now, Columbia in New York, Columbia University, Ivy League school, that's over. The NYPD went in, took all the tents out, arrested the people in the buildings. That's over. And I don't expect it will spring up again to that extent. But the protesters moved down to City College of New York, CCNY, where there are about 500 just milling around New York City, which is the center of anarchy right now in the country. So at Columbia, and this is what we told you yesterday, there were 280 arrests, according to the NYPD. Out of 109 on Tuesday, this is just Tuesday, okay, 109 arrests, 32 were outsiders. They call them non-affiliates. 32 non-students. At CCNY, out of 171 arrests, 108, look at that number, non-students arrested. So you have 140 agitators on these campuses. Now, I use the word agitators. I guess it's possible that some very sincere people wandered in there, but probably not, okay? Because everybody knew the cops were going to come in. So this shows, it proves beyond a reasonable doubt, that outside anarchistic forces are driving much of these protests on the college campuses. Then there is the bigger picture about these demonstrations, which I addressed with Chris Cuomo on News Nation last night. Go.
As a student of history, this doesn't only smack of Germany in 1938. This smacks of what happened in Iran in the 70s, where fundamentalists came in and changed a culture by starting with the students. And are you concerned that this is the beginning of radicalization in America?
I'm concerned about radicalization in America, certainly. Okay, but I'm more concerned about poor leadership across the board, from Biden down to the college presidents. Look, this isn't like 1938 Germany. Most college kids don't want any part of this. They're not anti-Semitic. They don't even understand what's going on. Most of the protesters don't understand the issue. That doesn't concern me. The lack of leadership does.
They're complicit.
These poor leaders, politically correct, woke people who have no spine and who allow people to be injured. And the final point I want to make is the progressive left, which drives this protest across the country, wants public disorder. We saw it after George Floyd. They want chaos and anarchy. So most college students don't buy into this at all. All right. It's not like Vietnam. We had thousands and thousands. No. This is very contained. All right. I've got people all over the place reporting to me now. And the University of Florida, we said this yesterday, big school, Gainesville, day two, Ben Sasse, the president, said, look, if you violate any of University of Florida's tenets, you're expelled. Do you have any trouble down there? No. University of Texas, Austin, completely different. Weak leadership. Now, when I say weak, there are two categories of weak. There's Joe Biden category, just befuddled, doesn't know what to do. He did issue a statement, another one today, but we'll get to it. But that's why he doesn't know what to do. And then there are the sympathizers, the college presidents who, they don't like Israel. They kind of like this. But that's a weakness too. You can't run an organization based upon what you like when people are getting hurt. Okay, so let's bring it back to the White House, because this is very important. Biden's getting hurt big time by this, because again, you see his leadership is non-existent. So Peter Ducey of Fox News, thank God for Peter Ducey. One of the few that will hold the Biden administration to account. This is what he and Jean-Pierre did yesterday.
Some of these encampments, they have matching tents. We're being told that there are professional outside agitators involved. We don't know if they're being paid to sow chaos by domestic folks or foreign entities. Does President Biden want his administration to find out who is funding some of these protests?
What I can say, I cannot speak to the organizations that are being reported out on the ground. That is not something for me to speak to. That is obviously something that local governments, local officials are going to speak to.
It's just so much bull, I can't stand it. What Biden should have done is ordered the Justice Department to investigate who's behind a protest. I can't speak to it. Look, my overwhelming temptation is to insult Corinne Jean-Pierre personally. I have no respect for her. You know that. And the reason I don't have any respect for her is I don't believe she's honest. I also don't think she has the intellect to do that job. Now, I don't know her personally. I've never spoken to her. I could be wrong about the intellect part, but I'm not wrong about the honest part. Everybody knows that the Justice Department of the United States, because these agitators cross state lines, is in charge of this. And I will tell you, there are FBI informants inside those protests right now. They're there, just as they were on January 6th, but the FBI won't cop to that. They were there, the FBI, okay? They're in those protests. So by saying, oh, I can't speak to that, you just show how weak the White House is. Okay, so let's just sum this up. We have a weak president. He's going to get weaker. Everybody knows it. Okay, my message of the day, you think the terrorists don't know Biden's weak? You think Putin doesn't know? She doesn't know? The mullahs in Iran don't? They all know. And this leads to more conflict. Weakness leads to conflict. Even in your personal life, if you show weakness, you're going to have more problems. And that's a memo.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
I'm Mike Slater from the podcast Politics by Faith. This is a crazy time in our country. It's stressful, a lot of anxiety, and it's going to get worse. And I realized that one of the things that helps me take away the stress is realizing that there's nothing new under the sun. So on this podcast, we take the news of the day and we run it through the Bible and other periods in history to realize that we've been through this before and we can rise above again. Politics by Faith, anywhere you listen to the podcast, Politics by Faith.
All right, so Biden went down to North Carolina to visit the wounded police officers who were involved in that horrible shootout on Monday. Four were killed, and Biden will see their families. And this is a good thing. This is a good thing. So a nut who had warrants out against him, the marshals and the local police were serving the warrants on him, and he shot four dead and wounded four others, and the police shot him dead. Terry Clark Hughes. I hate to even mention his name. Okay. So Biden is going down to bring solace to the families involved and the wounded officers. Good. But he didn't do it. And you remember this very vividly. Okay. Here on Long Island, when Detective Diller was shot dead by a convicted felon who had a gun, who was out when he shouldn't have been out on the street. Okay. Biden wouldn't even call a family. So why the change? The change is that Biden is on the skids. He's going down. He's going down. So they have to do this stuff now. You know, I'm tempted to personally say personal things against Biden, and I don't want to do that. But the fact that he didn't call the family of Jonathan Diller, the detective that was shot dead in New York when he was at Radio City Music Hall, that just, I can't forgive that. Just a phone call. It's all you had to do. Okay, so as I mentioned, Biden made remarks because he had to. Took him 13 days to put out a statement, but now he's under tremendous pressure. So here's what he said this morning. Go.
In moments like this, there are always those who rush in to score political points. But this isn't a moment for politics. It's a moment for clarity. So let me be clear. Peaceful protest in America. Violent protest is not protected. Peaceful protest is.
All right. So if you were addressing a fifth grade class, that would be appropriate for the world and the nation. It's another banal word of the day, B-A-N-A-L, thing that comes out of him. And okay. Let's go to the media. New poll. AP, Associated Press left-wing news organization. 2,468 adults. This is an internet and telephone poll. Are Democrat 44, Republican 38. Why? Why, AP? Okay, why the 6% spread? You don't need to do that. Even it up. First question. How concerned are you? News coverage of the upcoming election will include information that has not been confirmed or verified. That's what they call fake news. Total, somewhat concerned, 81%. That's almost unheard of. Not concerned, 18%. And those are the people who are on TikTok all day. Okay, so 81% of the American public goes, we know these people aren't telling us the truth. Second question, how concerned are you news organizations will report inaccurate information? 83% concerned, 16% not concerned. Again, the TikTok zombies. That is really quite some poll. Good example of disinformation is Vice President Harris. So she is the point person on the pro-abortion movement. What does that mean? It's not a pro-choice movement anymore. They don't respect the choice of adoption. They being the Biden administration, because they never mention it, ever. So if you're pro-choice, that means a choice means there are options, right? So you would consider adoption, abortion, all right, or having the child and raising it. Just three options. Not for Kamala Harris. One option, and that is abortion. So here she is in Jacksonville, Florida, yesterday. Go.
Because of Donald Trump, more than 20 states have abortion bans. More than 20 Trump abortion bans. And today, this very day, at the stroke of midnight, another Trump abortion ban went into effect here in Florida.
And that's totally distorted. There is no abortion ban in Florida. It's 6 weeks. And in Arizona, they just overturned a very harsh anti-abortion law, pro-abortion law, I should say. And they just overturned that. When she was speaking, they overturned it. There are no states, none, in the union that have abortion bans. And when you say 6 weeks, that's loaded with the health of the mother here, it's not just boom. There's a whole bunch of stuff attached to that 6 weeks in Florida. So here is the rundown, because Kamala Harris is never going to tell you the truth. The Trump abortion ban, by the way. I mean, knock out the Supreme Court ruling, forget that. It's Trump who did it. Yeah, you know, Ms. Harris, really. I suggest maybe you move to Moscow. All right. So 19 states in D.C. have no restrictions on abortion. You can kill the fetus up until the birth moment. 14 states have intense restrictions. Florida would be one of them. 17 in the middle. No state completely bans abortion. That is the truth. Okay? Trump had nothing to do with that. The Supreme Court ruled that the abortion situation go back to the states. Trump trial update, I got nothing for you on it. Some pinhead Keith Davidson who negotiated deals with women. So there's no news. Trump was campaigning yesterday. There was no court. So he went to Wisconsin and Michigan and he bashed the trial and he may get fined again. Okay. If there's anything new in the Trump trial, I will report it honestly. But right now, it's, if I'm on the jury, boy, I'm just going, what is this? Chicago, April 21st, 3 a.m. in the morning. 30-year-old police officer Louis Huzeka on his way home from his late shift. Okay? He is accosted in a carjacking, shot dead multiple times, car stolen. Okay? This is, again, April 29, 3:30 in the morning, Chicago time. So they've arrested 22-year-old Xavier Tate Jr. For the murder. And the funeral of Officer Huzeka was on Monday. The family got wind that Mayor Brandon Johnson of Chicago wanted to attend the funeral and said he is not welcome. Because Johnson has been virulently, another word of the day, anti-police. Now, the people of Chicago elected this man. They knew he was anti-police. He's not a liar. He's upfront. I don't like the police. I favor criminals. Yet they elected him. Okay. Now, if I'm the family of this slain officer, I do exactly the same thing, except I hold a press conference. That's what I would do. Because this is these mayors and prosecutors and governors who hate the police and favor the criminals have got to be called out in the most explicit terms. Kristi Noem, follow-up. Okay, so she writes a book. Book's going to come out. In the book, she talks about executing her dog, Cricket. She shot the dog in a gravel pit. Dog was 18 months. The dog was out of control, and I believe that. Okay, dog was eating chickens, a dog was biting people, a dog was running around, and Governor Noem, under South Dakota law, had the right to put the dog down and shot the dog dead. So she puts this in a book. Well, that wasn't real smart. Okay, now there's a national outcry, and I believe that Kristi Noem's national career is over. She goes on Hannity, and here's what she said.
It was a dog that was extremely dangerous. It had come to us from a family who had found her way too aggressive. We were her second chance, and she was, the day she was put down was a day that she massacred livestock that were part of our neighbors. She attacked me, and it was a hard decision. And the reason it's in the book is because this book is filled with tough, challenging decisions that I've had to make throughout my life. And I hope that people understand from this that what the point of this story is that most politicians, they will run from the truth.
Okay. I mean, I understand it, but it was a huge mistake. Okay. Now I'm talking about me. So my dog, Holly the Terror Dog, and I call her a Terror Dog because when she's a puppy, she ate the living room. Finally trained her, and now she's the greatest dog. If Holly bit someone or was really a vicious dog, I'd have to put her down, but I wouldn't shoot her. I'd bring her into the vet and they would do it in a humane way. Okay, that makes sense to everybody? So the mistake that Ms. Noem made was saying, all right, the dog deserved to die. Maybe the dog did. And I executed the dog. That's not going to go. It's not. Because, there was another option for the dog, right? Okay. And I'm sorry about it, because I think Kristi Noem has done a very good job in South Dakota. If you look at South Dakota, if you look at their economy, the way they handle things there, it is very well-run state. The woman has done a good job there. Blows her whole career up. didn't have to put that in a book.
Hey, this is Vivek Ramaswamy. The media has systematically lied to you. The Hunter Biden laptop story, the origin of COVID-19, the Trump-Russia collusion hoax, or how your money's being spent in Ukraine. Enough already with the lies. No more lies, hard truths only. That's what the Truth Podcast is all about. It's not standard conservative talking points. If you want that, go somewhere else. But if you want the hard truth delivered to you in a way that challenges you and will challenge me intellectually, you're not going to find anything like this on the internet. Subscribe to the Truth Podcast today on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Smart Life, tipflation. Okay. Look, most Americans have a serious problem buying overpriced stuff. I know I do. I don't even say it's serious for me, but it's annoying when I know I'm getting gouged. Okay. So according to Talker Research, it conducted a survey, 2,000 Americans, all right, this month. And it says that the average American tips about $500 a year, a little bit less, but it rounded off to $500. That's what we're giving other people for good service. That's what a tip is. Okay. Now, 26% of us, according to the survey, feel under pressure to give tips. Why? Because of the gizmos. So let me tell you a story. Out in Eastern Long Island, where I am much of the time, there is a fish shop. I like it. Run by Irish immigrants. Good stuff. Very expensive. So I call them up and I order a New England clam chowder bowl. $10. Okay. All right. It's a little high, but all right. And then a fried clam dinner. $22. 32 altogether, plus the 8.25 sales tax. So now we're scraping about 34. Okay. I go in, little credit card. They have a gizmo. They turn a gizmo around. You put the credit card in, but on the screen, it says, tip, 18%, 20%, 25%. Then it says no tip. Now, what am I tipping for? I like these people, but all they had to do was put the soup in a cup, cook the clams, put it in a little thing, put it in a bag and hand it to me. You know, what am I tipping for? And I'm going to slap on an 18%? I don't feel good about it, right? You know, I'm going, hey, you're forcing me into being, you know, parsimonious. Another word of the day. And I don't want to be in that position. But I'm 18% for handing me a bag where you've just charged me $34 for a clam thing and a chowder? All right, so it's your decision, but I never let anybody pressure me to do anything. So it's no tip. Unless I go out and, you know, wash my car or something, then I'll give them 20. All right, Smart Life. Now, there is a trend among some celebrities, James Bond, Daniel Craig, Marie Osmond, the diet maven, to say they're not going to leave any money to the kids. Okay. This is kind of a growing thing. Kids got to do it on their own. Self-reliance. We have a mug. Self-reliance. You're not getting any inheritance. I'm giving it to charity or whatever, man. Jeff Goldblum. All right. The Jurassic Park guy. You know him. Throw his picture on up there. Jeff Goldblum apparently is in that category. So he went on a podcast. He didn't explicitly say, I'm not going to leave my money to the kids, but he's basically hinting that's the case. Roll it.
Not really qualified, but I'm going to try it kind of thing for no reason. And a little bit of a, I think I need a job, mm-hmm. which is pretty important. Now that I'm raising kids,
yeah.
I'm no you know, conventionalist, but I know the system that we're in, and I think sooner than later, but I don't want to scare them. They should figure out, I mean, I love the creative life. It saved my life.
Yeah.
But also this idea that, hey, you know, you got to row your own boat.
I think you can row your own boat without being sanctioned by your parents as far as inheritance or help is concerned. So I disagree. I don't know where Goldblum is. He's kind of a guy that floats all over the place. But Daniel Craig, I certainly disagree with him. Marie is Marie. Different thing. Look, self-reliance is very important. If you're a parent or a grandparent, you got to preach it. And then you can see it. If the kid is actually working, trying to save money, values money, not a total loon, you can see the responsibility. And you don't indulge them. I don't indulge my kids at all. I live in a regular neighborhood. I could live in a mansion. I mean, I could do a lot of crazy stuff. I don't, because I think that is corrosive to the character of children when it comes too easy. But here is the most important thing I want to tell you about this. Money buys protection from evil. Poor people have no protection from evil, and we see it every day. Criminals prey upon the poor in those neighborhoods because they cannot protect themselves. They have to live in horrible places where there's no safety. Okay? If you get sick and you don't have money, you're hosed. All right? If something happens out of the ordinary to you, like Holly, I had to save her life by spending lots of money because she had a brain tumor. Okay. It is my job to protect my children. That is job number one for me. Part of that is allowing them to have protection from the evils of the world, from the bad things that happen. Believe me, I discipline it. But when I expire and hopefully go to heaven, I don't know, it's kind of shaky, I want to leave my children protection. Okay, does that make sense for everybody? Rowing your own boat is absolutely essential. Okay, I'm not getting no Nepo kids here, even though my daughter gives me a hard time about Nepo kids. That's a long story. But no Nepo kids here. But if you're a parent with assets, and they say, this thing says Goldblum has $40 million. I don't think so. This comes from Celebrity Net Worth, which is a website. And they put my net worth in there. It wasn't even close. It wasn't even in, I can't tell you. They just make it up. Anyway, Goldblum has assets. And he should, when he dies, give it to his kids down the road. My opinion. This day in history, May 2nd, 1536, Anne Boleyn, Queen of England, arrested, dragged to the Tower of London, charged with adultery, incest, treason, and witchcraft. Poor Anne. May 2nd, 1536. I mean, a woman wasn't even 30. She was 29. So Henry VIII throws her into the Tower of London. You can go to the Tower. They cleaned it up. But back in the 16th century, it was a dungeon. Horrible. The worst of the worst were in there. So Anne gets dragged in there, charged with all these ridiculous things because Henry wanted to marry somebody else. And Henry had already done that. So Henry VIII, one of the most heinous men ever to be on the planet, okay, he marries Catherine of Aragon, okay? Catherine can't give him an heir. Wants Catherine booted. So he goes to the Pope, give me an annulment. Pope says, I'm giving you an annulment. All right? So Henry then gets an annulment from the cowardly Archbishop of Canterbury, boots Catherine, marries Anne. Okay. Anne doesn't produce a male heir. Oh, Anne's got to go because I got another one, Jane Seymour, over here, just in the bullpen. I don't think they had bullpens back then, but in the chamber. So Anne gets dragged off to the Tower of London, where she sits until they come for her on May 19th, all right? And they behead her, cut her head off. Before she dies, she says, "Henry, my husband, is the kindest man I've ever known." It's a true story. Whoa! Now, Henry marries, all right, Jane Seymour 8 days later after Anne Boleyn is beheaded, and then boots all the Catholics out and takes over the church. Henry VIII founded the Anglican Church. In America, they're known as Episcopals. And I have a couple of Episcopal friends. I never let them forget who's in charge. All right, poor Anne Boleyn, 488 years ago today, arrested and dragged to the Tower of London. I have some people I'd like to put in the Tower of London, but I'm not going to do that tonight. I'll be back with mail and a final thought in a moment. Let's go to the mail. Russell Patterson, Orange, California. The 2024 University of Southern California commencement graduation has been canceled. Stated reason is security. City of Los Angeles is incapable of mustering the resources for the graduation to occur. In just 4 years, 28, the Olympic Games will be held in L.A. How will Los Angeles be capable of providing security? What an excellent question. Russell, the feds will move in big time. The Homeland Security, hopefully we'll have another president, you know, but excellent question. Bruce Taves, Winnipeg, Canada. Though I'm a proud Canadian, but I'm confused. Why are we not having anti-Israel protests at Canadian universities like you guys? I mean, our government is no better than yours. I actually trade Trudeau for Biden. I take that. I take Justin over Joe. You will have them. I don't know why they aren't there now, but they will come. My prediction. Derek Fonny, Melbourne, Australia, down under, where it is fall. It's autumn down there now. Bill, how could Benjamin Netanyahu have handled the Gaza war any differently? Enlighten us, please, Mr. Patton. Well, I am not in George Patton's category, that's for sure. I don't know. And I don't second guess the Israeli government because I do not have the intel they have, and I do not have the military charting. So it would be irresponsible of me as a journalist to second guess what Netanyahu and the Israeli military is doing in this war. However, I can lend advice, and my advice is for Netanyahu to lighten it up a little bit and to try everything he can to diminish civilian casualties. Now, that might be impossible because Hamas, the thugs, hide behind women and children, just like ISIS did, just like Al-Qaeda did, just like bin Laden did. Want to know all about that? Read my book, Killing the Killers. They hide behind them. They put their arms caches in hospitals. This is Hamas. Anyway, I'm not a critic of Israel other than to suggest in a humble way, if there's a doubt, let the civilians live. Pete Ward, La Jolla, California. Love the No Spin News. I'm frustrated and angry at what's going on. What can I do about it other than vote? You can organize on a local level, Pete. La Jolla is a very interesting town. Get involved in the school board, maybe. Organize certain people who have your belief system, write to the local press. I mean, you can get involved there. That's in addition to vote, you see what opportunities present themselves to make your belief system known. Robert Harper, San Pedro, California. Could President Trump use a spokesperson to express his views of the court? Wouldn't that sidestep the gag order? Yes, Bob, it would. And it has been suggested, but he wants to do it, believing he'll get votes from it. but that's what I would do. And then here's my spokesperson, and then she wails or he wails on the court while Trump just sits there. Patricia, Drew Barrymore looks silly. Nuzzling up to the left as she interviews, I'm embarrassed for her. Don't be embarrassed for Drew Barrymore. She has to do that. If she wants to book guests on her morning program, she's got to be a liberal. Period. Has to be. There's no other choice. That's why the three late night guys are. If you are a traditional entertainer, you will have a lot of trouble getting guests in the entertainment world. All right, let's go to BillO'Reilly.com store. Self-reliance mugs, not woke mugs, our big item this spring. Self-reliance for the graduates, okay? Not woke for mom and dad, for you. Become a premium or concierge member. Get any mug you want free or any of my books free. It's your choice. And this is a great time to become a premium or concierge member because our election coverage is far better than anything else you'll ever see in this country. I mean, you know that. You have to know it. We're way ahead on this. And we're honest. Okay, for Father's Day, and my mom would like the Killing Books too. We got the bundle, Witches, Legends, Killers, Mob, Crazy Horse, 33% off. That's a great buy. And Confronting the Presidents will be out September 10th. If you become a premium and concierge member, you get that free. So we're taking the advance orders. We do not charge you until we ship the book, which will be in late August. And you'll get it first. You're on the list. Advance sales for Confronting, huge. Huge. Word of the day, do not be a puzzle wit. I have never heard a human being say that word. Puzzle wit. P-U-Z-Z-L-E-W-I-T. Back with a final thought about losing your temper. I'm an expert in a moment. Okay, final thought of the day. A new study out of Columbia University. How ironic about losing your temper. So I've been known to get a little feisty once in a while. I am much better now than I used to be because I worked on it. Now, these people at Columbia University, in conjunction with the Journal of the American Heart Association, say, study 280 healthy young adults, but if you lose your temper, these 280, it hurts your heart. It gives you plaque buildup, which stops the blood flow. Even if you just lose your temper a little bit, all of that negativity comes into your body. I believe it. I believe it. Now, there are two types of anger. Immature anger. Hello, that's me. Immature anger. You know, you're frustrated. Things aren't going well. You know, I never took it out on anybody. I didn't do that. But I get annoyed and angry and stupid. Like you're in a car and there's somebody driving slow or there's somebody giving you the finger. Hey, just ignore it, okay? That's just stupid. But then there's righteous anger. When somebody does something that needs to be dealt with. Now, that anger, I encourage. You got to stay under control. But we're not namby-pambies, fourth word of the day here. Somebody doing something evil. Somebody's hurting other people or you. That's righteous anger. Go right after them. Be smart, though. And if it's a little plaque buildup doing it, I'm good with it. Righteous anger is the way that evil gets confronted in this world. Remember that. But there are ways to do it. I got to tell you, when I get angry, it always comes back at me. It never really, you know, when I calculate with the righteous anger, it turns out much better. But when I snap, no good. Thank you for watching and listening to the No Spin News. On Sunday, I'm writing a column about America's colleges, and I'm going to tell you some harsh truths. A column we posted early Sunday morning, and we'll see you again on television and radio Monday.